When a man engenders children, he gives a woman hostages in hopes that she will exploit him forever. It is the only thing that gives him some sort of stability and the only way of justifying the senseless slavery to which he has been conditioned. Hi, welcome back to Far From Eden. That was a sentence from the next chapter that we're going to explore and dissect in this book and by this author. If you're only listening, I'm sharing it on screen. I try not to say it because I want YouTube to recommend the video. And this is information, even back when she wrote this in 1971, they don't want this information out. Now that sentence I just read, it basically, you have to put yourself back in the time of 1971. Back then, the idea was if you have children with him, well, you need him because he provides, you know, he's the provision and the protection. And you leave, you're not gonna have that. So he gets to keep you. The man gets to keep you if he, as she says, engenders children. But if he keeps you, then he still has to behave as he has been trained to by her. This next chapter is called Children as Hostages. And I think a lot of you can relate to that because either you were one, a child of a broken home, divorce, whatever, and you were used as a hostage in one way or another, alimony, you know, guilt, what have you. The list goes on. Or you are the child, or you're the man. And you've been like, I want to leave. How many men out there, men who are watching this video right now, how many of them are married and they have children? They don't want to leave because they don't want to do that to the children. And they know if they do leave, the courts will tell them, oh, don't worry, you can co-parent. You'll see them 2 weekends a month. That's not fatherhood. Anyways, let's get into this. There's always so many insights. Children are endearing, which in itself is no reason for producing them. Okay. I don't agree with everything she says, that is for sure. She has a very secularist mindset, whereas I think that having children is a very good thing. And I especially can see that now that so many women are not. I myself did not prioritize it. I was dealing with my multiple sclerosis and thinking, oh, well, you know, it's not really for me, but I should have really seen through that and thought, no, I can be a mother, I can be a wife. There's a man out there who would, you know, help. If I were to be a good wife, he would, to the best of my ability, he would have helped, you know, make that happen. But I did not have enough faith in God or in men. The creation of a child is, in effect, the creation of an adult, man or woman. Most adult men live in a state of permanent hell. And the happiness of most women is not only primitive, but obtained mostly at other people's expense. So that there is no justification for reproducing them. That's incredibly nihilistic. Good gracious. It would be mistaken to maintain that only women are interested in having children. Men want them too. Children are one of the 2 or 3 excuses by which they justify their subjection to women. Women, on the other hand, need children to justify their laziness, stupidity, and lack of responsibility. Both sexes exploit the child, therefore, for their own ends. How many of you feel like that was what your parents were? Yeah, because 1971, the adults of that time are the parents of my generation. Although the whole world is full of half-starved orphans, every couple produces its own brood. Men must have a reason to be enslaved when later on his sexual powers have declined, and this reason must also explain his enslavement to a particular woman. This is simple. She is, after all, the mother of his children. Since woman is the excuse for his subjugation, he can only have one at a time. In every industrial society, man is monotheistic, i.e. monogamous, because she claims that man actually worships woman, not God. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Man listened to the woman, not the God. More than one God, woman, would make him insecure, lead him to question his own identity, and throw him back into the state of freedom He is constantly trying to escape. So I just would wonder, with her saying that, does she think that we should have, that men should have multiple wives? I wonder. It's hard to know what she actually thinks. I don't know, but her observations on a lot of this are very astute. I think the prescriptions that she wants are not good. Obviously, this idea of children being a bad thing, you know, it's I would say it's partly, I mean, secularism has led us to this antinatalism. Questions such as this do not interest woman, as she does not think abstractly. The problems of existential anxiety do not touch her. She has no need for a deity to give meaning to her life. All she needs is an excuse for making one particular man work for her long after he ceases to want to be in bed with her. Right. Then the children would be the reason, because she's not hot anymore, to use our modern lingo. This excuse is provided by bearing his children. By the way, if you're enjoying this video, if you think this is important content, please hit the like button to help the algorithm so YouTube will share it with as many men as possible so they can wake up to the reality of what's going on, how they're being trained, and how they're being used, and that they don't need to blame themselves for all this stuff that's going on. So please hit that like button. Subscribe if you're so inclined. This excuse is provided by bearing his children. If men outnumbered women 3-1, a woman would not hesitate to have a child by each of three men and let each of them work for his own child. Oh, they're doing that now. They got baby daddies. This woman, she could see the future. She could see the future. Wow, okay. Three men, and let each of them work for his own child, that is, for her, and play the three men off against each other. Their achievements and her comfort would thereby be enormously increased. It is a popular misconception that woman is less inclined to polygamy than men. Absolutely. Look at what they're doing. And honestly, women are the gatekeepers of the hanky-panky. So they have more of the ability to do it. Once you take down, you know, shame, a thing like shame that might prevent them, because that's what stops this behavior in women. Shame, not rules, shame. When a man engenders children, he gives a woman hostages in hopes that she will exploit him forever. It is the only thing that gives him some sort of stability and the only way of justifying the senseless slavery to which he has been conditioned. When he works for his wife and child, it is less important that he is supporting two particular human beings who do not look after themselves. One will not because she is female. The other cannot because he is too small. He is working for a system which embraces everything in this world that is poor, helpless, and in need of protection. Poor, helpless, and in need of protection as such, and which, so he believes, really needs him. They are using men's good nature against him. By they, I mean the women and the overlords. Because women can't do this without a court system that's going to enforce it and get that child support. Because that's how it works in this day and age. They don't stay with the man and keep him earning money, right, for the children. Oh no, they leave him and they have their own little lives and they keep the house and they have the child. Now they're getting money to be a mother. And they, look, he has to still pay for the child and pretty much pay for her lifestyle. What does she have to provide him? Nothing. Nothing. Just like in the marriage, just like in the relationship. There's nothing required. There are no responsibilities and no duties of us. And you know what? It has not made us better people. It's like when you raise children and they have no chores and no responsibility and no rules. Those are not going to be good children and they're not going to make good adults. And all of this stuff spoiling us women, it's spoiling us. It's ruining us. But we are a useful tool to bring down men. Wow, they sure do use your good nature where you want to be needed and you want to help. Thanks to wife and child, man has acquired an excuse, an artificial justification for his wretched existence, for his subjugation. He calls this arbitrarily. He calls this arbitrarily created system, this holy unit, his family. Woman accepts his services in the name of the family, accepts the hostages he entrusts to her, and proceeds to carry out his desires by binding him ever more tightly to her and blackmailing him until he dies. And whose gain is it? Hers. Gosh. Both man and woman only stand to gain by having children. Otherwise, they would not produce them. Man's advantage, I guess that's why they don't produce them now. They weren't producing them for the right reasons in 1971, and now they don't produce them at all. Man's advantage lies in the fact that he appears to lead a more meaningful life and that he is able to become a slave forever. And woman has all the other advantages. There must be considerable for any female today has the choice between a professional life or having children, and nearly all of them choose children. Not anymore. Not anymore. They were then. They're certainly not now. This may suggest that women decide in favor of a home and family simply because they love children, but women are not capable of the unconditional love a child should have. I agree. This can easily be proved. Women only care for their own children, never those of others. A woman will accept a child who is not her flesh and blood only when she is physically incapable of having her own. And this only after everything has been tried, including artificial insemination by an unknown donor. Holy cow. She's telling the truth about us. She is. Women would argue this all day, but when they adopt, if they have had children of their own, a lot of times it's a virtue signal. This may suggest that women decide in favor of a home and family simply because they love children. Yep, that's what we just said. Sorry. I get talking and then I just lose where I am. You'd think I would learn to put my finger in place. Although orphanages throughout the world are full of appealing, needy children, and although the newspapers and TV report daily on the number of little Africans, Indians, or South Americans who are starving to death, a woman would rather give a stray dog or cat a home than a deserved child, and yet she pretends to love children. You're right. She's right. Think about all the single women out there who live alone. Now, I'm not one that says that children do well in a one-parent home, but if you're out there starving, like, it's probably better. But the point is that they're not doing it. And if they love children so much, you would think they would be. You know what? Ms. Vilar is just gonna, she does not hold back. She must have had a very high IQ. I'm sure you guys are gonna tell me what it was. Because she can see things that other people just could not see back then, and a lot of people can't see today. Even though today, all of these things are way more obvious. And thank God there's so much more information today online. Oh, it is difficult to prove that women do not really love children, but they use them only to their own advantages. After all, pregnancy, childbirth, and the care of an infant are not without some degree of unpleasantness and discomfort. Such factors are unimportant, however, when one considers what a woman is getting in exchange: lifelong security, comfort, and freedom from responsibility. You will see this after a woman marries, say, a millionaire, a sports star, an actor. She's going to have a baby pretty quick because that solidifies her security forever. It's just a fact. What would a man have to do to achieve a situation vaguely resembling a woman's state? There's nothing. Nothing. That pregnancy is not as unpleasant as it is made out to be, I know, has by now reached even the ears of men. I don't think it did, because what has happened with the men's rights movement? Nothing. Nothing. Feminism has increased. Men's rights have gone downhill. More men have had to suffer in family court and from false accusations. But yeah, I hear women talk about, but I'm risking my life to be pregnant. I'm like, what? Are you living in 1800? What are you talking about? It's not that difficult. But what are they comparing it to? A life of absolute luxury and comfort all the time, where they can fulfill every hedonistic, urge they have. So to them, sure, pregnancy seems like a nightmare, and it seems scary and painful because they live a life where they think that they should have none of that ever. And that is just not reality. That's not how life works. But They don't know that. They were taught completely differently. Oh, many women feel healthier when expecting a child, and it is becoming fashionable to admire it openly. Why should they worry if they look ugly and unattractive, their figures lumpy, skin spotty, hair stringy, and legs swollen? They are not after a man now. They already have one. Oh, you'd be surprised, Ms. Vilar. There are pregnant women on dating apps. He, of course, has no choice but to watch his butterfly turn into a caterpillar. He did it, after all. It is his child she is expecting. Okay, that's not how men look at their pregnant wives at all. That she is selling men short right there. They see their pregnant wives as the most beautiful thing they've ever seen. That's how a man of good character sees his wife. Like, he sees what she's going through and he knows, okay, she's doing that. This is our child. He's not like, man, I wish she was super hot now. It's not how they think. Oh, but she can't be right about everything, can she? He did it after all. It is his child. She is expecting his child who is deforming her. You're part of the problem when you think like that. What right has he to find her clumsy and repulsive? After all, she is losing her youth because of him. That's a very bad mindset to have about pregnancy. Ms. Vilar, that is not, it's just very nihilistic. Okay. I don't need to go down tangent road and do all that. Don't need to do that. As far as giving birth itself is concerned, the fantasies still surrounding it are so hair-raising that it would never occur to man that women bear children for their own sake and not for his. The phrase, she presented him with a child, so popular in the novels of previous centuries. She presented him with a child. Okay. Centuries may well have gone out of use in contemporary literature, but it has been fixed in the consciousness of men. And when the offspring arrives, they are filled with feelings of guilt because of the sufferings of the woman, not those of his newborn infant. Please note, I think they're filled with feelings of gratitude. I'm not sure that the men feel guilty for that, but you guys tell me. I am not going to be one of the women that decides how you feel, how you should feel, all the rest of it. I want to continue to learn how you experience this world. It helps me do what I'm doing and spread this knowledge. Yet a man only has to imagine that in return for spending 6 hours at the dentist, he will be offered a sinecure? He would be offered a sinecure, okay, I don't know if I'm even saying that word right, for life. He would certainly accept such an offer. Of course, difficult births do occur, but they are, as a rule, painless since the advent of anesthetics. Exactly. These women are having epidurals. They've got doctors right there. It's not really, this is not 1800 biting down on a piece of leather. It's not what's going on. If there's a C-section, you don't feel it. Yeah, you got to recover from it, but they're being big old babies is what they're being. In general, a woman suffers no more during childbirth than she would during a prolonged session at the dentist or getting our hair done. That's pretty uncomfortable. We go through quite a lot to get our hair done and all the rest of the things women are having done. Think of the like facial fillers and Botox and this, that, and the other and the risks of all that. And then they're saying they can't have children. No, they don't want to. What women tell men about giving birth is usually shamelessly exaggerated. The ear-splitting shrieks from the delivery rooms, which penetrate their ears, are no more than a sign of the same lack of self-control and pride that we have already dealt with at length elsewhere. Exactly. Exactly. Look, I've known women who did not have any anesthesia and did not scream. Actually, I know one. And I don't want to like say it, but just say it. She was family. Oh boy. So it can be done. But again, you need to be able to emotionally regulate. I would be thinking, these other people don't want to hear me screaming. It's terribly inconsiderate. Oh, my British side comes out and it's terribly inconsiderate to scream. People are having real problems here. People are losing. If we're in the maternity ward, people are getting bad, information about their children, about what's going on. People are having real problems. You're just going to scream in regular childbirth? Come on. Women used to be strong. We used to be when we had to be. But now that we don't have to be, you're not. It has not made us better. Oh. Lack of self-control and pride. Wow. Painless birth has existed for years. By doing exercises, women can train themselves to have their children without anesthetics or discomfort. It would be to women's advantage to decide whether or not having a child is painful. As long as some say one thing and others something else, they lose credibility and thus damage their common interests. Yeah. I would say, now you might think I'm extreme, but I would say it's irrelevant if having a child is painful or painless. It's something that we should do. It's a responsibility that women have. We are the only ones that can bring new life into this world. And unless you want humans to go extinct, women have to do what we were made to do. And if you believe in the Bible, we are supposed to go forth and multiply. So many of us did not heed that call. Oh, that's back in the day. That doesn't matter. I'm an exception. No, I'm not. But I failed in that regard. And I can realize that and say it frankly that I did. I failed in that regard. I believed the lies. I believed the lies of feminism. Oh boy. Hold on just 1 second. Just 1 second, y'all. Of course, an assumed air of helplessness and a subsequent excuse for spending their lives doing easy work without a boss ordering them around is not the only reason why women produce little human beings. One day, for example, a woman may discover that her body functions rather like a slot machine. Boy, you put in something insignificant and trifling and something different and fabulous falls out. All right, that's one way to think about it. Of course, she is tempted to try this wonderful game. And when she has played it once, she will repeat it over and over again. It nearly always works. Exactly 9 months later, out comes a human being. She is astonished and delighted. The operation of this slot machine is fundamentally as legitimate as when a person hits another on the head and the latter immediately collapses, simply because it is biologically possible. If each game with her body slot machine did not involve some future effort, she would soon become insatiable. Right, it does require some effort. I don't know how much they're putting in now. It's been a couple generations that it's like, here's a tablet, watch this. Go to daycare. She's outsourcing the raising of the children. So there's less and less of that effort that is needed. And yet, she's not having them. You know why? Because then she's not the spoiled one anymore. Then the resources go to the children, not as much to her. So she draws the line at the point where one more child would increase her workload and decrease her security and comfort. Interesting, because women will say, well, I think I'll have one child or two children. And it's funny how they're sort of making a calculation in their mind. And I think this is the calculation. I think she nailed it. I think it's when they realize it will increase her workload and decrease her security and comfort. I think that's why they make a decision where they're only going to have two kids, so they're only going to have one kid. And you can see by population decrease, that's what these women were doing. The boomers, the parents of this time, were not having a lot of children. Some had none. A lot of only children in my generation. Like the woman's like, see, I did my duty. Gotcha. They have to support me forever. Can't turn me out. One child. They fulfilled their obligation. Mustn't have any more. That would be hard. It's disgusting, really. It's disgusting. I'm ashamed. I'm fully ashamed of this behavior. As a rule, the limit is easily determined, usually by the degree of automation in any one household. In highly industrialized countries, the average woman aims at having two or three children. Now it's one or two. Or zero. In North America, where housework is almost wholly automated, the optimum is nearer to three. This was in 1971. It's gone downhill. It's gone. Oh my God. In Western Europe, where certain appliances are not yet used, the ideal is nearer to two. An only child is seldom desirable, and more than three are considered antisocial because of their noise and the smell of washing. There's always some excuse, isn't there? An only child affords no benefits, only disadvantages. The woman never seems as unprotected and tied to her home as she should be. Apart from that, right, so one child doesn't give her that credibility enough to continuously drain her husband in this day and age. Interesting. But I bet they calculated if it would or if it wouldn't, and if it would, they're like, okay, I'm done. Apart from that, something might happen to the child, possibly when the mother is past childbearing age, when she would have no excuse left for having things made comfortable for her, and her husband would have no reason to go on working for her alone. You got to have an insurance policy. What is it? The heir and the spare in royalty? Also, an only child has no playmate, and the mother would have to play with him. If there is anything a woman loathes, it's having to play with children. I want to disagree with that. I want to, because I don't want it to be true. But they just hand them a tablet. There's no, we're in the car and we're going to see who can spot the whatever. We're going to play a game. It's all, here, let me hand you this tablet that'll mesmerize you for hours so I don't have to play with you. Or just a television at home. Have you all heard of Coco Melon? My God. The reactions to babies, it's the way a baby should react when he sees or hears his mother. That's what it should be. But it's Coco Melon, this weird watermelon thing, cartoon. I can't even describe it because it's like having some kind of, what I imagine would be like an acid trip. It's, oh my gosh, you guys, oh my gosh, okay. It's hard to read this stuff. The truth is not friendly. You know, the truth is harsh. It's just the nature of it. It can be beautiful too, but it doesn't come without thorns. And I am, whatever anguish of spirit it may cause, I'm willing to know the whole truth. But man, I don't want to play with the children. It's just true. Oh gosh. Children are curious about absolutely everything. But a woman has no interest at all except the few idiotic forms of entertainment offered by her house and her own body. With the best will in the world, it is difficult for a mother to enter into the adventurous world of a child. She may have a small repertoire of insipid stock phrases to amuse a toddler. Look who's coming now, like you say to your kid. But by the age of two, a child has started to think for himself, and woman is left behind. The cliche about the common interest of father and son. Father cannot stop playing with his son's model railway. Yeah, men love to play with kids. Cannot be applied to mother and son or even to mother and daughter. If a woman makes an effort and spends half an hour playing with her child, more might stunt its mental development. No, I'm sorry, Ms. Beeler, you're wrong. Play is how that's how they learn. She tells the whole world as if it were a great achievement, which of course it is, in terms of self-denial. Well, how does she tell the whole world nowadays? Social media, we're gonna put it on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, so everyone can see that I'm the mother of the year. Meanwhile, what's your kid doing when you're posting it online? I'm just like, yeah, children are tools that the women use to extract resources from the man. They absolutely are. And men are such loving creatures that it's pretty easy to do it. Problem is, the way the woman can do it is the state fully endorses that behavior, enables that behavior, and is the one, you know, with the hole punchers, there to back it up, because you're going to go to court and you're going to have to pay child support. And if you don't, well, now you're a felon. Now we're going to put you in jail. And if you fight, argue, try to get out of it, guess what's going to happen? The woman isn't the muscle behind all of that. The state is the muscle behind all of that. And the overlords are the puppet masters of the state, all to disenfranchise men, to fleece men. But at the end of the day, yes, the children are used as hostages. And in this day and age, it's by a lot of women who are divorced or were never married to begin with. But it's the same mentality. And women can nowadays have multiple children by multiple fathers and extract resources from all of them. Good Lord, you guys, good Lord. And no one stopped it. People weren't stopping it. When Ms. Vilar wrote this book, and was trying to be like, knock it off, everybody. This is what's going on. Let me show you how the wizard is behind this curtain. Let me show you what the reality is. Let me show you what's really going on and how you're being used and how you're being manipulated and why. But they didn't want men to know. They still don't want men to know. They've got you busy trying to fight her in court, trying to argue about custody and fight false accusations and stuff. You don't have time to think about how the overlords are the ones that are doing this and how it's advanced our country further to the left. You don't have the time to think about that. You're in survival mode. And you're trying to protect your own children and protect your relationship with them. For heaven's sakes, is there any wonder that men are saying, no, no more. Thank you very much. I'll have none of this. I cannot blame them one bit. And it isn't that every woman will. It's that every woman can. And she can seem like the sweet, lovely, biblical, traditional, you know, on fire for Jesus, whatever. And, you know, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, whatever many years down the road, she is going to possibly become unhappy, unsatisfied with whatever, right? And that's going to turn on you. Now, it doesn't happen in all cases, but divorce is like 50%, right? We don't have a good track record. Would you bet on us? I don't think you should. It's just logical. It's not hatred. It's nothing like that. Men love women. They just can't find any. We're all trying to be men out here. We're all trying to compete with men. We're trying to be them. We're trying to do all those things. And we're not just, we've been taught we are the ones that despise ourselves because we're stepping away from real motherhood. We're stepping away from being a real wife. We're stepping away from serving other people. We are serving ourselves. And it's bringing the whole world down. Just like an Eve took the fruit, the forbidden fruit, from the devil and served herself, it brought the whole world down. And while we're in our free fall, I mean, we know we are. We know we can't, you know, turn back the clock. I can maybe wake up as many people as possible so they can at least see what's going on and not fully blame themselves because that's what you guys do. But I don't think there's anything, nothing's turning this around. It's too far gone. It's going to have to collapse. It's going to have to and then be rebuilt. It's the only way. And I mean, we're headed there. So while we're doing our free fall on the roller coaster, make sure, even though it's all about to crash and burn, you still need to protect your peace. It still matters. You still matter. You do. The things of this world, things that are worldly, actually don't. So please feed your soul with things that actually do matter, that are not of this world. I love you guys. I'll see you on the next one.